This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9 is celebrating World Toilet Day with Inda Water Consortium.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. It's Health and Living and today it's World Toilet Day. What more? We're going to be talking about safe water and sanitation for all. And in the studio with me, Dr. Ahmad Munawar Helmi Salim. He's the Chief Coordinator at Islamic Medical Association of Malaysia Rescue and Relief Team, better known as IMARED. If you have a question for him, give us a call. The number is 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Welcome to the show, Dr. Munawar. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
World Toilet Day. I mean, that fact just now about women having better hygiene than men, would you agree with that, though? Based on the work that you've done.
we haven't done any research on that, mm-hmm. but we can look in it.
Okay, all right. But your observations?
No, I don't think so. I mean, what we do work is more, what we saw is not basically women or children or men, but in general, from my work on the ground, it's when there's poverty, there's usually lack of access of clean water and sanitation.
Okay, yeah. So that's the sort of work that you're doing, more on the ground sort of work. So in 2010, the UN General Assembly recognized access to safe and clean drinking water and sanitation as a human right. And they've called for international efforts to help countries to provide safe, clean, accessible and affordable drinking water and sanitation. So, you know, and that's why World Toilet Day, we thought, was great to talk about public health importance of ensuring safe water and sanitation for everyone. What do you think, where do you think Malaysia is in terms of clean water and sanitation?
Okay,
could you describe it for me? I mean, what you're actually observing?
Sure. The latest data, I think we have from WHO, I think in 2015, it says that it's not so bad in terms of access to improved water source. I mean, in Malaysia, we have about 97%. Among that, the thing is, there are a few issues in that too, because there are also unequal distribution. For example, in terms of access of water in the urban area, will be about 100%.
So when you say 97%, you're talking about access,
to clean water. Okay. So just going to define it here. So there's clean water and then safe water.
Okay.
So clean water meaning clean water. Some say it's improved water. Water source. When some define it as basic water, improved water source, meaning within 30 minutes of going to that water source. We offer us here, maybe we can't imagine, but they define this because in some parts of the world, for example, in Africa, they walk more than 30 minutes just to get access to water. So that is access to water. Another that we need to understand is safe water. Safe water meaning it's free of microorganisms, free of chemicals, and it's basically safe for drinking. So in Malaysia itself, even though we have quite high, more than 90%, but there are certain parts of the country, especially in the rural areas, do not have access to not just clean water, but actually access to safe water.
Okay.
So they probably have access to clean water, meaning we have lots of rivers, but that is called surface water. But access to safe water itself, that is where we're lacking.
Okay, and that was about 10% that don't have access to safe water, would you say?
I would say about that, but then sometimes it's underreported. If you go to the Orang Asli community, for example, we have about, this is I think about in 2016, 2017 data, there's about 800 plus settlements. Only 83% have access to safe water. And then in this Orang Asli settlement, we need to understand that Even though they have access to the rivers and then to mostly and rivers, and then they call it Aitanda or from the hills, but it's not safe, meaning that there are risks, there's microbes, and then this access that are not available even during rivers. We can't, because we often take for granted. For us, it's easy. We just open our tap water. Yeah. That's already treated water. But in the rural areas, there's nothing like that. And then, not to mention, if you don't have that, there's a lot of complications, health problems, economical problems. So, yeah.
Okay. And I can understand, because I ran a poll in the office one day and I said, you know, where does water come from? And you'd be surprised how many of them said the tap. Without understanding exactly where water starts, you know, coming down from the hills, you know. Let's talk about safely managed sanitation services. Now, the UN Sustainable Development Goal Target 6.2 uses an indicator called safely managed sanitation services. And that's defined as the use of an improved type of sanitation facility that is not shared with other households and from which the excreta produced are either safely treated in situ or transported and treated off-site. What does that mean?
I think basically talking about toilets and it's World Toilet Day anyway. Areas such as in refugee camps, we have toilets which are shared toilets. We can't imagine that because most of us, especially us in the urban areas, we have our toilets in our homes. So in the refugee type of areas or in the certain parts of the world, they share toilets. So in Malaysia, even in the rural areas, we do have initiatives by the government, either from the Ministry of Health or for Orang Asli, for the Jabatan Kemajuan Orang Asli, under Jabatan Perdana Menteri, before this under Rural Development. So they have initiative. If under Ministry of Health, it's under under BAKAS, Bekalan Air. So they built toilets in houses and also community toilets. The one with shared toilet is sometimes called community toilets. So in Malaysia, for the past 15, 20 years, we've improved a lot in this.
I mean, I remember back in the day, there was the bucket system.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I lived. I mean, in town, you know, I couldn't believe it when it was explained to me how it actually functioned.
Yeah.
We don't have that anymore, do we? Please tell me we don't.
No, we don't.
Thank God.
What I know, but probably I've never been as far as rural areas in Sabah, Sarawak. I know back in the days, I've probably young to see that, but even in the East Coastal area, that's where the toilet is. Having said that, in certain areas, which is still happening, especially in the Orang Asli communities, I have one kampung that I went in Johor. The problem there was no access of water. Not at all. But it's actually in the coastal area. The thing is, with water, you can't access the seawater. In the world, there's more 75%. We have lots of water, but mostly are seawaters. And then you have fresh water that where we can access. So in this kampung, the fresh water they access, there's a lake, a mining lake. So that is where their toilet is, and that is where they access for their needs. I mean, this is still happening, and this is in that was in Johor. So I would assume certain parts of the country, especially in the rural areas of Kelantan or even Pahang, for the Orang Asli, they still use the same area where they use for their for their toilet needs, and also that is where they get the source of water for their hygiene.
And that is not the best thing.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Are we doing anything about it?
Yeah, for sure. So,
and in Imaret, you have done some work with Orang Asli.
Yeah, so just in terms of, for sure, just I want to bring back the importance of water, because sometimes we take for granted. I mean, in a clinical perspective, water is contaminated water. As we know, can have transmitted waterborne diseases such as typhoid, cholera, hepatitis A, and then diarrhea. And then data I got, I mean, we don't have it in Malaysia, I don't have it, but data I got, more than 800,000 people die from diarrhea. This is from because of unsafe drinking water, unsafe hygiene.
In the world?
Yeah, in the world. And
this is every year?
Yep, every year.
Okay.
And then sadly, under five is about nearly 300,000 per year.
Okay.
So this is because unsafe drinking water. So in Malaysia itself, the initiative by the Ministry of Health and the other government agency is providing water supply. There's not mainly an initiative a lot to provide safe water. Of course, there is, but there are some in terms of maintenance, logistics. It's very, very difficult. For example, because in urban areas, we have water treatments and then it supplies directly to our homes. But in the rural areas, logistically, it's almost not cost-effective, and the technology is very expensive to provide directly to their homes. So what we do in Imaret, and this initiative started back in 2011-2012, it started by the Angkatan Tentera Malaysia, the Malaysian Army Armed Forces. So they, by Colonel Dr. Arshil, he's a public health specialist. So he started the initiative back in Afghanistan. So during that time, there was issues of waterborne diseases. And then he invented simple method, water treatment, water filtration, which during that time reduces 60% of the waterborne diseases there. So we developed phase by phase. And with Imaret, we started back in 2015 in Dabong, Kelantan, and for the community there. And the issue with water treatment system, I mean field water treatment system in rural areas is maintenance. But Alhamdulillah, with our system, field water treatment system, which we call it SafeWare, SafeWare meaning safe water everywhere. Mm-hmm. Since 2015 was first one, and until now it's still been using by the community. It's maintained by the locals and supplies to the whole community. So started in Dabong, Kelantan, and now we have in Kelantan there's two, in Johor there's two, in Perak recently, officiated by the Royal Highness Tuanku Sultan. And also in Cox's Bazar, Bangladesh, for the refugees.
Okay. It's funny you mentioned maintenance, because I think one of the facts this morning that was shared on World Toilet Day is that, you know, a toilet can actually last 10 years. In Malaysia, mm-hmm. it doesn't. Mm-hmm. So it's probably got to do with maintenance across the board, really. Mm-hmm. So can you explain to me what SafeWare, what is this system like? And what were the conditions in these villages that you went to in Padang Batang district of Perak? I think you did some work there.
Yeah.
Could you explain that to me and how the SafeWare field water treatment system actually worked for the Orang Asli villages?
Sure. So, like I've mentioned, we've started back in 2015. Mm-hmm. So SafeWare, or stands for Safe Water Everywhere, it's a field water treatment system.
How does it work?
So it's basically, you need a water source. Like I've said, the issue in Malaysia is not water source, like African country. The issue is it's not treated. So usually in Kelantan, and then in parts of rural areas, it's very high turbidity. The water is very high turbidity. And if it's raining, like nowadays, it's going to be really high. So they have to depend directly on the raw water source for their needs. So this innovation that we've been collaborating with the Malaysian Armed Forces, it will treat the water, and then to from this parts of the system that treat the water, and then which at the end of the day can be drink. It's drinkable.
It's safe water.
Yeah, it's safe water. It's comply with the WHO drinking water standards.
How do you distribute this water to everybody?
So,
because this is seven villages, Orang Asli villages, worked with,
so,
right?
So what we do, it's a long process because we need to talk to the community first. We ask them how they want it to be. So that's one. Number two, we each time we before we start this program in any places, whether it's Cox Bazar or in Malaysia, we test the water first. And then from the water, we know that, okay, this is what we need. This is what we need to design the system. The thing with this system is it's customized with the needs of the community, the water itself, and also the needs of the community. So mostly in Batang Padang, they wanted the water just on one place, and then they'll come to there. But the thing is, with Orang Asli community, it's very small. Mm-hmm. And then, for example, probably there's 10 or 15 families in one or one village. And then sometimes there's one village, but there's two areas, so we build two. So from this assessment that we did, Alhamdulillah, with Yayasan Ustaz Azan Shah funding this initiative, we managed to build a 10 water treatment system in seven Orang Asli villages in Batang Padang.
How does this translate to proper sanitation, toilet facilities?
Yeah, so in terms of toilet facilities, this is basically just focusing on safe water.
Yep.
Yeah, and then, of course, in terms of sanitation and hygiene, people need water even for their needs to go to the toilet. So this is important, where we have that clean water. It's not just for example, the most important is for drinking, but apart from drinking, it's also will be used for washing and then for hygiene needs. So this is also will be used for the toilets themselves. In this area that we collaborate for this Safeway project, with the Pejabat Kesihatan Daerah Batang Padang, they already provided with toilets. So in
common terms, toilets, shared?
They have toilets in their homes and also shared toilets. So in terms of that, is the needs is quite already accommodating by the Pejabat Kesihatan Daerah Batang Padang. So the needs was especially not just Batang Padang. It's most of the Orang Asli communities that we see in Malaysia is the needs for safe water.
Okay. So, you know, based on the UN Sustainable Development Goal is that safely managed sanitation services that we spoke about. So to make sure that this sort of sanitation facility is not shared with other households, which is, do you think Malaysia is doing well with that?
Yeah. I think we're doing quite well with that.
Okay, then we come to the topic of from which the excreta produced are either safely treated in situ or transported and treated off-site. So we'll figure out then what happens, how is this cleaning process carried out? How do we get it off the toilets and treat it? I mean, that's exactly what Inda Water does. And, you know, we all have septic tanks now it's even centralized. So we'll come back and have that discussion up next. Okay. We're discussing, it's World Toilet Day. We're discussing safe water and sanitation for all. If you have a question for us, give us a call. It's 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio.
Stay tuned to this BFM World Toilet Day special, brought to you by Inda Water Consortium. This BFM World Toilet Day special is presented by Inda Water Consortium.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Mira Sivasudhi. In our Health and Living segment, this World Toilet Day, we're discussing safe water and sanitation for all. Dr. Ahmad Munawar Helmi Salim, Chief Coordinator from the Islamic Medical Association of Malaysia Rescue and Relief Team, with us. They're better known as IMARET, done a lot of work around the world as well as in Malaysia. We just spoke about this UN Sustainable Development Goals as to what safely managed sanitation services really are. Dr. Munawar, Laura spoke about the sort of system put in place, safeware systems put in place by Imaret at some of the Orang Asli villages in Perak. You've done it in Kelantan, in Johor, in the interiors, of course, in Rohingya refugee camps in Cox's Bazar in Bangladesh, and four villages and temporary villages for earthquake victims in Palu in Sulawesi. So this system has been used quite successfully, I would say. So then the second part of the sustainable development goal is about how do you now get this excreta that's produced treated in situ, or does it get taken out? And because this is the interior, what happens?
So this is usually done by the Ministry of Health. Apart from providing clean water access, they also provide sanitation, like you mentioned just now, septic tanks. So in the interior, in Malaysia itself, it's quite from our work on the ground for the past few years, it's quite I think it's quite okay. Compared to other parts of the region, for example, in Cox's Bazar, when I went, the thing is there, the toilet is nearby the water source, so you have a guideline to build toilets. So for example, I'm just taking the worst example, not in Malaysia. For example, in Cox's Bazar, the needs for, like I said, water, clean water and sanitation. So NGOs coming and then humanitarian actors coming, building toilets. And then when they build toilets, they didn't think that the water source is also nearby. So they built another tube well. So in Cox's Bazar, the only water source they can get is from the ground. So they built it well just nearby a few meters. So you can imagine when we did assessment of the test of the water, mostly are contaminated with E. coli. So that is why it's important. We have guidelines also to
because of leaching into the
soil. Yeah, for sure. It goes to the ground, and then the ground also where they access water, tube wells. So when you build tube wells, it's usually there's certain criteria where you can build. It should be high ground. It's not lower ground. So when and most of it is also until now is still not treated. So wanting to get excess water from the ground, so you have clean water but not safe water. So that is why we come in. And as we know, in terms of public health, safe water is number one intervention. Even vaccination is number two. So importance of, I can't emphasize the importance of not just clean water but safe water too. And that is why we apart from all other work that we do for humanitarian works, this is one thing that I think it's an important public health issue. And if you talk about public health, people don't usually see the impact of it, but it's really, really important. And sometimes in Malaysia, we take for granted for it.
Yeah, but there's still 10% of our population that does not have access to safe water, is what you're saying.
Yeah, we're good, but less than 10%, about 7-8%. Yeah, but
mostly in the interiors, would you say?
Yes, mostly in the interiors. Yeah.
Okay, and that will come along with sanitation. We can assume then that sanitation is also not up to par.
Yeah, for sure. In terms of sanitation, I think it's compared to safe water is more in need, I think, in terms of sanitation. The work is being done. I'm talking about interiors. For sure, in the urban areas, we know we have, like you said just now, like Indahwater, doing good work for us in the urban areas. But in the rural areas, this is where the Ministry of Health have been doing a great job. I can see they've been doing a lot. They have specific programs for building toilets in the rural areas.
So what do they do? It's a septic tank and then they send sewage tanks in and then pump it out like it used to be in the back in the day for us as well.
You mean in very rural areas, they still use septic tanks. But now, as we develop more, more water treatment, more sanitation coming in, going to the interiors, not I'm not so sure myself been in Sabah and Sarawak, but what I've seen in the interior, especially in the Orang Asli, we're still using what the Ministry of Health is doing. I think quite a good job. The thing is, with safe water, it's still there's a lot of work have to be done.
In Sabah and Sarawak, what is the system for sanitation there?
I think it should be the same. If most of it, I know that it's by the Ministry of Health doing work for the sanitation under BAKAS. But in terms of, like I said just now, in terms of safe drinking water or water treatment system, there's a bit of work done by the Ministry of Rural Development. But I think there's still a lot of work to be done. In Sabah, Sarawak, for sure, there's a lot more to be done.
So the cost of building these systems in the Padang Batang communities was about 1.1 million ringgit, including a 10-year maintenance amount. What's the cost-benefit of such an investment in these communities? And, okay, and where do you get the funding from?
Okay. So just explain about the system itself. So like I said, it's a field water treatment system. It's customized to the area, the needs of the people, and also what type of the water itself. So from there, we design a system, and then the system itself, it's can produce from 12,500 liter per day to 30,000 liter per day. And then it's...
This is safe water?
Yep, safe water. Mm-hmm. Safe water. And then it's using solar base. It's solar based. Of course, certain areas, for example, most of the areas in the East Coast that went, and also in Batang Padang, when we built, it's using a gravity feed system. So most of the areas in Malaysia, what the Ministry of Health have been doing is they provide this access to clean water by building gravity feed system, and this system attached to it, so it treats the water. So from there,
1.1 million.
Yeah, 1.1 million.
Funds that?
From Yayasan Sultan Azan Shah that we got specific for the...
foundation.
Yep, foundation. Okay. So this system can last to about 10 years, and it's actually maintained by the locals themselves and also with the work with the local health agencies.
And do you think you've been successful in terms of long-term functioning? Do you foresee that it will be able to sustain the 10 years in terms of maintenance?
Yes. The first one that I've mentioned just now in Kelantan was built 4 years ago. It's still functioning until today. So we hope that with the collaboration with all the partners that we have on the ground, and most importantly, this system, it's very low maintenance and can be maintained by the locals. And that is our strong point. That's why this system can be maintained up to 10 years. We've mentioned to the funders, we mentioned to the most important to the communities.
Okay, so that's safe water, right? Mm-hmm. Now let's move on to broader benefits of clean water and adequate toilet facilities for our society. What are some of the other benefits from providing communities with clean water and adequate toilet facilities? What are some of the benefits?
Okay, for sure, number one, it's health. I can't mention more. Public health is most important. Number two, it improves livelihoods. And number three, it creates jobs. Especially in the rural areas where they have to spend a lot of time taking water from the river and then go back to their houses. And then children also, they have to do this. So I think data from the UN agency stated, UNDP, UN Development Programme 2006, mentioned about 443 million school days was lost because of...
Around the world.
Yeah, around the world, because of lack of access to safe water and clean water. And of course, for sure, in terms of health, because the thing is, waterborne diseases is because of unsafe water. And then when we remove this, the cost that we use to treat this disease can be used for other costs and for the health. So it's more of a public health. It's really impactful. And I think it's an important public issue that we need to raise and talk a lot about it, because mm-hmm. in terms of public health, people vaccination, safe water. People don't talk much about it until you don't have it.
Yep. So the WHO, a study done in 2012, they've calculated that for every $1 invested in sanitation, there was a return of $550 in lower health costs, more productivity, and fewer premature deaths. So that is almost one in five and a half, which is, you know, very worthwhile, the effort of investing in, you know, safe water and sanitation. You know, the floods also exacerbate issues here in Malaysia. Could you explain to me how that affects sanitation?
Yeah, for sure. I think we started this project also, Imarat, started back in 2014, 2015, during the East Coast flood. And after that, when we built our first safeware. So, rightly said, especially during the rainy season, these waterborne diseases such as leptospirosis, cholera, typhoid, it will increase for sure. Leptospirosis is already a burden in our health, especially in the rural areas, let alone during flood. So, more importantly during this time of the season, apart from our work to provide, number one, safe water, hygiene is important. Hygiene education, health education is extremely important. And they have to take care, usually during the rainy season, especially if there's flood. So, most of these flood victims will go to the evacuation centres, which is very crowded. There, it's being concerned about hygiene also. So importantly, if you don't take care of hygiene and there's lack of access of water, clean water, there will be a huge disaster in terms of waterborne diseases. So we usually see this problem 1 week or 2 weeks after the flood itself.
Do you find that women mostly affected by the lack of safe water and sanitation?
For sure.
Because they say that the lack of this is a feminist issue, really, because the women are impacted the most.
I mean, in terms of needs for water, we have drinking, we have for food preparation, and we have for hygiene. So in terms of hygiene, not just mentioning women, everybody needs to wash themselves. But of course, likely, like you said, of course, like not just women, I mean, even children needs proper hygiene, proper clean water.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think it's also privacy, you know. Yeah. You are vulnerable when there's no proper sanitation and it's a shared facility,
exactly.
Things like that. So a lot of those affect women a lot more. And then also people who have disabilities also need to be thought, you know, we need to think about them as well when you have the lack of sanitation. Why do you think that Malaysia, you know, although it's less than 10% access to clean water, but why is there a lack of access to clean water and sanitary facilities? Why is it still an issue in Malaysia? I mean, what has brought us to this point? I mean, it's 2019. We had Wawasan 2020. That's next year.
A few months more.
Yes. we shouldn't be talking about this.
So I think one of the main issues that I can see, if it's in Malaysia, is mainly due to logistic issues. Because the place that for now until 2019, the areas that in need are more in the rural areas where this sanitation, mainly, for example, the treatment facility, water treatment facilities can't access to there. It's really, really, it's really, very highly cost. So that is why they are in need of certain innovations out there to provide in terms of like with product for safe water, but to these rural areas.
So do you think then government teaming up with NGOs like yourselves is really the way forward?
Yeah, I think we can complement each other. Government have done a lot of good work. I mean, compared 20 years ago, like you said just now, a lot of good work. I think moving forward, collaborating with partners from NGOs who've done humanitarian work, we've done work not just in Malaysia, but outside, we've seen a lot. For us, we've collaborated with Malaysian Armed Forces. They've seen probably the worst of all in disaster areas, in conflict areas where they need also in terms of water and sanitation. So I think like you rightly mentioned, and also in SDGs, I think SDG 14 mentioned about partnership.
Yeah.
So we can't work alone. Even for NGOs, our work is basically complementing and what we can do. And of course, with from the government side, what we can help, we help each other. And think the beautiful collaboration we've done in Batang Padang from the foundation, and then from the government agencies, and then from the NGO side, and then from the community itself. I think going forward, this is the way forward to solve this issue.
We really shouldn't be equating our 10% who don't have access to clean and safe water and sanitation to disaster areas, really. I mean, if you think about it, it shouldn't be happening here, you think? Okay,
for
what
sure.
would be your closing thoughts on the importance of clean water and sanitation?
Okay, I think, like I mentioned earlier, safe and water is the most powerful public health intervention. We need to talk more about it. We need to think that there are people in Malaysia itself that do not have access to safe water. And we can collaborate together, and then from the people of Malaysia and from the government and from NGOs to provide clean and safe water to the people in Malaysia, like all we do in other parts of the Malaysia.
Thank you very much for joining us. This World Toilet Day, Dr. Ahmad Munawar Helmi Salim, Chief Coordinator of the Islamic Medical Association of Malaysia Rescue and Relief Team, better known as IMRED, on safe water and sanitation for all on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
This World Toilet Day special is presented by INDA Water Consortium. New life for water.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.